Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina. That's Christine. Welcome to another big week of royal news, Christine.
Yeah, this was some really, really big stories. I don't know that it was super busy, but just what we did see was like really interesting.
It's so interesting, and I can't wait to break it all down with you. But before we get to all that, let's see what you guys have to say about last week's show. Let's kick it off with Heather, who says, "Wow, the exhibition sounds so interesting. I will definitely be getting tickets. So interesting to hear from the photographer's perspective. I didn't realize the work that goes into taking the pictures." Yeah, it was so much fun sitting down with Sam and Zach last week to talk all about the Princess Diana exhibit and some of their favorite royal photos. So if you're in Chicago or Los Angeles, definitely check it out.
Yeah. And I actually, I heard from Zach and Sam over the week that they're hoping that the show goes international. Yeah. So I'm hoping to, when it does open in London, I will absolutely be there.
Yeah. There's some amazing, photographers and amazing photographs. Next one goes to Reg, says, "No matter whether you hate or love Harry and Meghan, the fact is that they are both part of the royal family." That is true. They are still part of the royal family. Yes, they're not working members of the royal family, but Harry will always be a member of the royal family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. This will always be his family. He'll always be part of the narrative and, you know, involved in what they're doing.
Definitely. And then Jocelyn says, "The most despicable act is that Andrew has police protection. Why can't Harry and his family can't have the same? Keeping in mind he is paying for it. What is the problem? Shame on the royal family." Now, the way this is not just, you know, the royal family's decision, you know, this is obviously the Metropolitan Police and things like that. So there's a lot of different layers to this. And he is no longer a senior member of the royal family, so he can't get all the perks. But yes, he is willing to pay for it. So there's a lot of different layers to this that I feel like we're going to be talking about for a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. There's so many layers and there's so many people involved and just so many cooks in the kitchen in this story. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how it plays out because I don't think this story is going away just yet.
Definitely not. All right. Well, let's get to our royal roundup. And obviously the big story was Queen Elizabeth marked 70 years on the throne while spending some time at Sandringham. Gun salutes rang out on Monday to mark the official start of her Jubilee year. And in a statement released this past Saturday, the 95-year-old queen remembered the death of her father and recalled the 7 decades of extraordinary progress that her reign has spanned. She made it clear that she intended to continue as head of state, renewing the pledge that she made on her 21st birthday to devote her entire life to the service of the UK and the Commonwealth. She also acknowledged her late husband, Prince Philip, by saying, "I was blessed that in Prince Philip, I had a partner willing to carry out the role of consort and unselfishly make the sacrifices that go with it. It is a role I saw my own mother perform during my father's reign." Like we said, she marked the occasion at Sandringham and she even cracked a joke or two. So take a look at this.
"I thought it had to be upside down for the press.
As they can see. I don't matter.
It seems like she was very well celebrated this weekend.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it was such a special occasion, but it's a bit strange because it's quite a mournful occasion, which is why I think it's better that we do celebrate in, you know, the summer. There's all those celebrations planned. So it's kind of bittersweet because, you know, she's mourning this day where her life changed, where her father, you know, passed away. But it's such a momentous day in history. I mean, 70 years is just it's historic. It's incredible. So I think they did a very good job at sort of commemorating the day, celebrating it a little bit, but still paying homage to, you know, the history and to the the things that have transpired.
Right. Yeah. You tend to forget, like you said, it's also a day of mourning. She's mourning her father and, you know, but yeah, definitely, you know, 70 years is a long time.
Yeah. It's incredible. You know, she did celebrate with a cake and a tea party at Sandringham, which I absolutely loved. And, you know, she seemed in such good spirits. And it was really the first time in a while that we've seen the Queen almost looking and feeling like herself again since the passing of Prince Philip. Mm-hmm. So I think that overall, it was such a happy day. You know, it was even a little bit joyful in over here in England. There was a little bit of, you know, excitement in the air. I think it'll be more exciting in June when people have a bank holiday. But
yeah, 100%. It's going to be a big party. Well, let's get to this big news following the Queen's speech. And like in her announcement, when she released a statement, she announced that Camilla will be named Queen Consort. She said, "And when in the fullness of time, my son Charles becomes king, I know you will give him and his wife Camilla the same support that you have given me. And it is my sincere wish that when that time comes, Camilla will be known as Queen Consort as she continues her own loyal service." Surprising move.
It gives me chills, like reading that the first time and then hearing you read it. It just gives chills in that, you know, she's clearly acknowledging all the everything that's transpired, all the history between, you know, Camilla and Charles and Diana in this case. But really, she's saying, you know, she feels is the right thing to do for the royal family, that Camilla should be Queen Camilla. She'll be the Queen Consort in every right way, shape and form. Now, originally, when Charles and Camilla were married, they sort of told the press that she might be known as Princess Consort when Charles became king, because there was still such a strong negative sentiment towards her. But in the last, I think it's almost been 20 years since mm-hmm. they were married. In the last nearly 20 years, Camilla has really proved her dedication to the British people. She's done an incredible job in her role as the Duchess of Cornwall. And she's undertaken some really serious causes, you know, such as domestic violence, such as, you know, animal abuse and even just literacy and reading. So I think it's a well-deserved role, but to say it's surprising from where we started with Camilla's, you know, public image, hugely surprising. Oh, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people were shocked.
I think so too. I mean, a lot of people still have very strong opinions about Camilla, but like you said, a lot has happened over the course of the past 20 years. Harry and William have both spoken out how they accept her, and she's been, you know, sort of a mother figure to them in some sort of way. So it seems like she has really proven herself, and, you know, nothing says that more than getting called Queen Consort. So a surprising move. But on accession day, Prince Charles released a statement responding to the news, saying, "We are deeply conscious of the honor presented by my mother's wish, as we have sought together to serve and support Her Majesty and the people of our communities. My darling wife has been my own steadfast support throughout." I mean, why do you think that she, I mean, it's all speculation, but why do you think maybe she announced this on, you know, during her Jubilee year? Why not make this a separate statement at another point? Because this kind of overshadowed, but it definitely was the headline of the weekend.
I think that's exactly why she did that, to turn this into, you know, the headline for the weekend, but to make it a very clear statement that all of the British public would hear. Mm-hmm. You know, if she released a statement at a different time, maybe for a lesser event, it might not have gotten as much attention or airtime. But for her to make this statement as part of such an important message to the public really showed how important it was to her. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like she's asking the public to, and she does, she says, "My wish is that, you know, when the time comes, this is what she'll be known as in the same support that you have given me." So she's saying, "You've supported me for 70 years. I've served you as queen." She even signs this message, "Your servant, Elizabeth."
Yeah.
And she says, "I've served you for this long, and this is my request, that you respect Camilla, support her as you've supported me, and call her your queen." Mm-hmm. So I think it was so powerful. It just really gave me chills. You can tell that the queen really, admires Camilla's commitment to a country that for a really long time hated her.
Yeah.
And yet Camilla still put the work in, she put the hours in, she put in the care and commitment to the people.
She must really love him because a lot of people wouldn't go through what she went through.
Really like her husband.
Seriously. All right. Well, following the weekend, the Queen returned to Windsor to resume her normal duties of audiences, credentials, and Privy Council meetings, some virtual, some in person. But she has three engagements that she hopes to attend in March. So it seems like she is definitely back to business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in general, you know, she's sort of slowly easing back in just as the rest of us are sort of post pandemic easing back into normalcy. So on the schedule for March is Prince Philip's memorial service, which I think is going to give the public more of a chance to memorialize him. I think the expectation is that, you know, members of the public might be able to go to the outside the service, you know, to see the royal family paying their respects again. So the Queen intends to be at that service. She intends to be at the Commonwealth service at Westminster Abbey, which is an annual service, kind of remembering and bringing together all of the members of the Commonwealth. That's usually a really fun service with, you know, usually there's songs and poetry readings and things like that. It's not your traditional church service. Mm-hmm. And also there is a scheduled diplomatic reception for this month, which normally the diplomatic reception is held in December, and it is a big glamorous tiara event. So that might, hopefully, if it continues, if it's as it normally is, would be a really exciting thing to see after so long without anything, you know, sparkly, no ball gowns, you know, a long drought from the pandemic.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Bring it on. All right. Well, before this whole weekend, we had some other royal news. Duchess Kate made a rare appearance with Prince Charles and Duchess Camilla. The trio visited the Prince's Foundation in London's former Docklands. And this was the first time that they had an appearance altogether in quite some time.
Yeah, I think the last time was it 2011? I
believe so. Yeah, it was.
I saw that and went searching on Google and I thought, surely not. Right. But it's been so long since the three of them have been together. But they always are quite a powerful team. They met with brands and companies that benefit from the Prince's Foundation or the Prince's Trust, which is a really interesting organization that sort of supports small businesses exploring innovative ideas like in sustainability. And they met with an interesting brand called Ellipsis that's using silk in a sustainable way. I loved this story because the designer at Ellipsis gifted Kate and Camilla two silk handbags and also sent Kate home with a pink silk scrunchie for Princess Charlotte.
Love that.
I loved that story. The pieces are all made with offcuts from larger fashion pieces, so nothing is wasted. They really try and reuse things and everything is made to order. So I just found that brand and that interaction interesting. And the impact from their meeting, this brand then got tons and tons of press coverage. Mm-hmm. So that really shows why these events and these organizations, you know, the Prince's Foundation are so powerful for these, you know, these smaller brands that before you had never heard of.
Yeah. I love that. I love the pink scrunchie gift. I love that.
I'm sure, Princess Charlotte, yeah.
I'm sure she enjoyed it.
I think she did.
Yeah. In the midst of all this, Kate also showed off her sporty side during her visit to Twickenham Stadium, training with the England national team. We know that Kate loves to get down and dirty and show off her sporty side. So this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was really cool. It was announced that she is the new royal patron of the Rugby Football League. And this event was a part of kind of, you know, kicking off that patronage. And she really got into the sport, into practice. I don't know anything about rugby, so I don't know what they were doing.
Same here.
But she was really engaged. And I think that's what people really love about these events is that she's really in there playing, doing the drills, doing the practices, you know, throwing the ball around. I don't know what it's called, but it looks like fun.
It looked like fun. And yeah. She's going to have a busy few months ahead of her. They also announced that she is going to be headed to Denmark as well, right?
Yes. So she's headed to Denmark as part of her commitment to the early years. She's heading to Denmark to learn about how they approach early years and early childhood education and development. Denmark is one of the leading countries in terms of like childhood happiness and even mental health awareness, which we know starts in early childhood. They tend to have, you know, there's all those books about Danish children being the happiest ones on the planet. So she's going, to Denmark, meeting with Crown Princess Mary, who is such an incredible, inspirational figurehead. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for that. I think that's going to be a great story.
Definitely. All right. Well, now it is time to break down the royal rules, and to help us do that is royal expert and author of Princess Diana, The Voice of Change, Stuart Pearce, who tells us how Queen Elizabeth is really in training for the Jubilee and how Prince Harry's book may heal his relationship with Prince Charles. Take a look. How do you feel that she is preparing for these Jubilee celebrations? They're just 4 months away at this point. It's going to be a long weekend of celebrations, of concerts, of bake-offs and things like that. So how do you feel that she is preparing for this monumentous celebration?
Well, she's in training at the moment, isn't she? Because after all, it's 10 years ago that where the Diamond Jubilee took place. So she's in training. And I understand that she's using the grand staircase at Sandringham House and walking up and down at least three or four times a day and using it as a training ground, you know, to discover longevity of energy and how she can accommodate her breath and so forth and so forth. So she is aware of the fact that she will need to find a way of sustaining her energies. And I understand post-COVID that the Trooping of the Colour ceremony, which is her official birthday at the beginning of June, is also going to be attended for the first time in 2 years. So that's excellent.
There's so many things to celebrate. There's a lot of things going on. And I know during that time as well in June, Prince William is going to be celebrating his 40th birthday. Do you know if they're going to be planning a big celebration for that too? Kate just turned 40, and with lockdown and everything, that was a more low-key celebration. But I wonder if they're going to have a big joint party.
Yeah, I understand that that's what's going to take place, that they're really waiting. And also because of there's still subtle restrictions in the United Kingdom about COVID isolatory processes, you know, COVID restrictions. And so I believe that what they're doing is that they're just simply waiting for the Jubilee month, but the months of May and late May and early June to really come together and to celebrate in the way that they will be doing. And I understand that Prince William is going to be creating some form of commemorative or anniversary special award that hasn't been fully defined as yet. But, you know, 40 is quite a landmark, isn't it? A lodestone to achieve in life. And the fact that it's both he and Catherine's special year, it's quite interesting that he's going to be creating an award medal, and it will always be a dedication to the Diana legacy, which is wonderful.
So do you think it is too much of a risk for Harry to come?
Well, at the moment, yes. But I think for all sorts of other reasons to do with COVID and to do with the nature of the changing vicissitudes within the British government at this time, you know, because we're looking at the possibility of the fact that Boris Johnson will not remain as Prime Minister. Mm. Anyway, that's another subject. But, you know, what will take place is what took place before, meaning that there will be some form of backing from a friend of Harry's and Meghan to provide them with the finance to afford full security. So when they arrive for the Jubilee celebrations, everything will be perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I hope to see them there. I'm sure the entire family is anxious to see Lilibet and Archie. I mean, he has grown so much over the past 2 years. We had reporting that Harry actually organized a Zoom call between the cousins. Do you think that means that, you know, things are starting to get back on the right track between Harry and William, and, you know, everybody's kind of communicating again?
Well, they've been communicating all the time. It's just that the little vignettes that have been received by the British press or other, you know, the Australian press and so forth, loves to inflate and distract what is truly going on, as is the nature of the press at this time, it would seem, not with US Weekly. You're always absolutely on the ball with your candor and your veracity. But other press mechanisms tend to, you know, these are times that are very unsettling. They're very quaking for every nation of the world, are they not? Right. We're just coming out, possibly. Let's all pray that we're coming out of a global pandemic, which has also affected our economic status around the world. So many countries are experiencing great hardships to do with the supply chains not working sufficiently and the central organizing principles moving through some degree of quake. Mm-hmm. And so this is a difficult time. And, you know, what's happening with each member of the family is that they're constantly really processing awe that's necessary to keep the family fabric alive. Mm-hmm. It's just that we don't hear about the intimate calls that are taking place. But, you know, for example, William and Harry speak all the time via Zoom.
There was also a report that Charles and Harry have been having video calls and working on their relationship. What have you heard about that? And do you think it's possible for them to mend their relationship?
Well, again, it's a tricky one because they've been in constant communication all the way through this process. It's just that what's being identified by certain areas of the media is that they're not, whereas actually they are in full communication. It's just that obviously we're dealing with people who have very, very busy lives. Mm-hmm. And so they may not be speaking every single week, but, you know, there are Zoom calls or WhatsApp calls being exchanged all the time. So I understand that Harry is actually revealing some of the key details in confidence to his father about the pending memoir that actually will be published, as we know, towards the end of 2022. And so in those discussions, I understand that there are lots of healing aspects that are emerging. For example, the exchange of, well, why didn't we talk about it then? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry that we didn't. Somehow it seems that the subject was misaligned. And so I'm so glad we're talking about it now. Please forgive me if there was any misunderstanding. You know, the fundamental aspect of our relationship is that I care about you very deeply and love you very, very intensely, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that this is what's been taking place between them. So we're really beginning to see that the more transparency we have in all of our communication processes, that we're actually beginning to see that there are changing circumstances within this family. And unfortunately, we only receive little snippets that seem to be very dramatic or detonating devices, which suggests that there's a huge earthquake taking place, you know, whereas actually they are in communication all the time, mm-hmm. sharing the most significant things. I mean, one of the difficulties at the moment, of course, that they're all dealing with is that how do we respond to any of the media that's coming forward and asking about Prince Andrew, because obviously there are a series of huge question marks over Prince Andrew's process at the moment with the judiciary. And so the line that's being taken is the best thing is to remain silent.
Yeah. I love that the Queen is climbing stairs, getting ready for the big day. I'm all here for that.
I love that. I hope she's well, she's in good health and good spirits come June.
Totally. Well, in our Royal History Moment of the Week, we thought we would actually look back at the day that Elizabeth became queen. And like we said at the top of the show, this was a day that was a sad day. I mean, she was in Kenya. She was on a trip, and that's when she got the call that her life changed. Her father died and she was going to become queen.
I know. It's so amazing. She only left, I think it was 7 days before, mm-hmm. she only left and waved goodbye to her father 7 days beforehand for a tour of the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. So she thought she was going to be gone for 6 months. And a week later, she's flying home as the new queen. I cannot imagine the emotional toll. You know, she was very young. Mm-hmm. She definitely thought she had, you know, more time as the mother of her children and as just the princess to, you know, adjust to family life and adulthood and her role. And then one day you just wake up and get this call. I can't imagine.
No, I can't imagine. Yeah. Your whole life changing in a matter of seconds. And, you know, she flew back to London and, you know, that's when she began her reign.
And I love this. So royals now always travel with a black outfit because when the plane landed, she hadn't brought anything black with her. She had to stay on the plane and wait for an appropriate outfit to be brought to her. Mm-hmm. Then she changed on the plane and disembarked as the Queen of England. I mean, just such a powerful moment in history.
It really is. It really, really is. All right. Well, before we wrap up, let's check in on our royal kids. And Prince Harry actually gave us an inside look at his life as a dad during BetterUp's Inner Workday virtual event. He said, "The self-care is the first thing that drops away. I'm happy to admit that as a husband, as a dad." I think we can all relate to that. That self-care really kind of goes out the window sometimes when you're taking care of two little ones.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. I think it's so important that, you know, Prince Harry has done a lot of work to destigmatize talking about your mental health, reaching out for help, talking about the struggles you're going through. So I think hearing him say, like, I get overwhelmed as a dad and I have to take time to myself, you know, whether that's meditating or, you know, just taking time out for self-care is so important. And for him to kind of destigmatize that as a man, as a dad, I think is really important and really valuable.
It really is. Yeah, no, because you're right. You don't usually hear dads talk about it too much because, you know, a lot of the weight kind of sometimes falls on the mom, but, you know, it impacts dads as well. And so it's nice to kind of take the time for yourself too. We're all in definitely. It together.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, Christine, thank you so much for breaking down all things Royals with me as always.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was just such an emotional week, I think.
It really was. It really was. And I'm sure it's going to keep on continuing. And we'd love to see your comments. So keep them coming and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.